Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Grace of a Military Child and Life podcast. Military families are not like your traditional family. They are strong, brave, resilient, and some of the most incredible people I know. My name is Gracie, a U.S. Army brat, and I am your host. I am honored to be able to give military family members like myself a place for them to share their stories and experiences in the military life. Stay tuned for this week's guest. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of Grace of a Military Child and Life. Today, I'm so excited to be here with military spouse Laura. So, Laura, thank you for coming to the podcast. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. So, what is it like for you being a military spouse?
Oh, goodness. That's a big, loaded, open-ended question.
Yes.
I love being a military spouse. I grew up in San Antonio, and I have a grandfather and an uncle who were both in the Air Force. And so I grew up hearing stories about the military life. And that was just a really big part of my childhood. I was always making friends with the military kids. I feel like I was always the one getting left behind. I had like a new best friend every year. But I never honestly, even though I was surrounded by the military, you know, San Antonio is sometimes called Military City, USA.
Yes.
I never imagined that I would actually marry into the military until I met my husband. And then I honestly, it didn't even occur to me not to.
Yeah, that's so fun because, you know, living in San Antonio, we were there for a few years. When my dad got hurt, we were sent to BAMC or CMC, yes, whatever, you know, everyone, yes, calls it different now.
Yes.
But we were there for a few years, and yeah, Military USA, Military City, literally, like, it's a different feeling when you get in that, mm-hmm, city. And so, yeah, I can't imagine like growing up being surrounded by it. Like, you must have felt like a military kid to a certain extent.
I definitely grew up, since my mom was an Air Force brat, I grew up, you know, she lived everywhere from Scotland to Hawaii. So,
oh my gosh.
She grew up in several different, you know, bases, McGuire and Westover and Wright Patt. And so I heard her stories about it growing up, and I was always interested in it, fascinated by it. I loved hearing my grandmother's stories of being a military spouse. And so it was really, you know, something special for me. Like, when my grandfather found out that I met somebody who was in the Air Force, I mean, he's like, "So you're marrying him?" And I was like, "Well, we just met." He loved the military life so much. He loved being a pilot so much. That was such a big deal to him. My grandmother always joked that flying was his first love and she was his second. He loved it. He was in the Berlin Airlift. He flew in Korea. And so, that was just, he thought that it was so special, I think, for me to be able to carry on the family legacy and be part of that too.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I could not even begin to imagine how much fun it would be sitting and listening to all the stories from your mom to your grandpa, your grandma, yes, everyone.
I know. And I wish I could go back and ask so many more questions now, of course. Yeah. My brother was the one, he was interested in planes and flying growing up. And so he always listened to our grandfather's stories. And so sometimes I'll go ask him, and he's kind of like the keeper of our grandfather's stories and information. And he remembers, he spent a lot of time with them. Like, he stayed in San Antonio for college and he would go golf with them and they would tell him stories and stuff. I heard more from my grandmother's side about being married to somebody in the military and what that was like. But it definitely feels really special to be a part of that.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, you didn't get to necessarily hear it from his side, and you can hear that through your brother a little more, mm-hmm, now, but it must feel so like comforting, and you must feel so prepared from listening to it from your grandma's side and now, yeah, living that life yourself.
Absolutely. I think I definitely have a huge advantage over other people who marry into the military because, for one, I have more of an idea of what it's like to know, like, you know, my grandfather would be overseas and my grandmother, he'd be reassigned to a new unit. And they'd be like, his unit is now stationed out of this other base. So you have 48 hours to get out of your base house, pack up whatever you can in your car, take your kid and go. And so I like whatever I've experienced is nothing like what she's experienced.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew like it was going to be a lot of, you know, hard, but good times, a lot of, you know, maybe scary times or whatever, but it also has given me a lot of perspective. And so when I'm tempted to think like, oh man, you know, I haven't heard from him in a few days, or this is really rough, I'm reminded like, we have Wi-Fi and, you know, he can text right. from an airplane. My grandmother just hoped that she got a letter from him before she got a knock on the door. So things are just so different now. And it really has given me so much perspective to realize that, like, I have it so much easier than spouses who've gone before me, but also comforting to know that, like, I know that I'm not the only one who's experienced this kind of situation. And so that is always a good reminder and comfort for me.
Right. Yeah. Because like you said, it'd be waiting for a letter, you know, and hoping a letter would come and
yeah, absolutely.
Not get lost in the mail or, you know, who knows what could have happened.
Right. Yeah.
And now it's like you can text from anywhere in the world, really.
Yes.
And so it's so cool. I love that.
I know. Even from 20 years ago when we started out and he would be flying missions and, you know, you would like Skype or email, and a lot
right.
of people, we would have to like sign up for time on a computer at the, you know, like USO computer to Skype them and hope that they had service and hope that they were actually available at that time.
Right.
Versus now, like they deploy, they have Wi-Fi in their dorms. They've got, you know, it's just a whole different world. So even just seeing the progression over the past two decades of our time has been so cool to see like how it's made communication so much better and easier and just made our world a lot easier. So,
yeah, I remember when my dad deployed and, you know, his deployment was short-lived due to his injury, but, mm-hmm. you know, that was, we didn't even really Skype. And, you know, that was in 2011. So my mom yeah. would get emails and that would be mm-hmm. their way of communication. And then my sister and I, we were 9 and 8. So what do a 9 and 8 year old, you know, back then, nowadays
yeah.
they know about it, but what do they know about emails, you know, and
right.
how to send
yeah.
emails? So we still got letters and, you know, we'd send dad letters. He sent us letters back. So, you know, it's really, really changed between, you know, even, you know, a decade ago. And it's insane.
Absolutely. Yeah. There was like the first time I didn't hear from him, he would always say like, it's going to be 3 or 4 days or whatever. And he'd be
right.
on a mission and he was always pretty spot on, but there was one time that it was like several days past when, and I started, you know, it's like the beginning of that 24-hour news cycle when they had embedded journalists and you could just sit and like, just terrify yourself watching, you know, the news and watching stuff happen live overseas. And I knew like he was flying C-5. So he's on the Air Force's biggest plane, flying in and out of places that, you know, they don't want him there. And he's got a plane that has no like countermeasures or anything like that. And it was scary. And I remember one time he wasn't able to call me and I started like really panicking. Well, at the time it wasn't funny, but now I can look back and laugh. He ended up being in an Eastern European country. And he's like, our takeoff time changed. They wouldn't even let us. It was like these little old ladies running their base ops and they wouldn't even let us call our headquarters to change our time. They wanted us to like pay cash. They kept saying like, who pays for call? Who pays for call? And he's like, I don't know the United States Air Force. Like, I don't pay people to call my headquarters. And so he was like, there was no way I could call you, obviously. And I didn't know that I'm just waiting on a phone call that hasn't come and, you know, terrified of what could have happened. But, you know, I know now that was like really early in the stages of him flying missions. Now I know like somebody would have contacted me if there was a problem, but right. I was very isolated. I was new to the mission situation. We weren't living on base yet. So I was really isolated and didn't understand the process, I guess. But it's funny now that we look back and,
yeah.
and joke about those little babushkas.
Yeah. My dad would always tell my mom, like, hey, I'm going out on a mission. Like, mm-hmm. and he would always say it would be longer than it actually was. And so, yeah. you know, what could be, you know, 2 days, he would say, I'm going to be gone for about a week. Like, if you don't hear yeah. from me about a week, like, you know, be prepared. But then, you know, now you see all of the stuff that's happening on the news and you can't help but, you know, be afraid and be anxious yeah. about what could be happening when you're not hearing from them.
Yeah. Especially when it's all kind of happening in real time. It's, you know, that's an advantage and a disadvantage that previous generations didn't have. They, you know, they kind of got like after the fact in the newspaper, like, hey, this is happening on this front or whatever. But I mean, we're sitting there watching it. And I'm like, he told me he was going to be flying into that place. And now, you know, there was this insurgency or whatever. And so it's a blessing and a curse. And I finally just had to like turn the news off and, yeah. and watch other things that were a lot happier.
Yeah. And that's one of the hardest things to have to like come to the realization of is like, okay, I've got to turn this off. It's a no news is good news. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
You don't hear something. And I, you know, 9-year-old me was like, no news is good news. Like, what does that mean? But right. it's, you know, when you don't hear from anyone, that's good because, you know, nothing, mm-hmm. you know, catastrophic or traumatic happened. But then if you do hear from somebody, it's not normally yes. to bring you good news. They're not yes. saying your spouse is coming home early. So,
yes. And we're so spoiled in today's, like, you know, communication age that when we don't hear something, it's like when our food's not coming out quickly enough, we're used to, you know, microwave speed. And so
right.
if we don't have the information that we want, when we want it, it's really easy for us to get, you know, kind of snippy about it or frustrated and forget that even though our technology is really good, there's always things that can disrupt that information flow. And sometimes it's just, they're not able to. And sometimes it's because, you know, it's not like a technology related thing, but it's maybe OPSEC, mission OPSEC or something. And so we just need to remember to be patient. As I preach to myself, sometimes we have to remember to be patient that we yeah. just, even when they're not deployed, like my husband's working at Air University. So he comes home pretty much every night unless he's TDY. Right. And I can get kind of frustrated if, you know, I call him and he can't answer, but he still has meetings where he's got to leave his phone outside, you know, the office or whatever. And so I have to remember, like, he is at work, he's doing a job, he'll get to me when he can. But yeah. it's easy to forget that when we're so used to having everybody and everything at our fingertips.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, right on spot because we, you know, even right now, like I know I should be having an assignment come in, you know, graded. And it's like, okay, yes. well, where is it? Because I'm so used to submitting a quiz and it being right there.
Yes.
But this has to be physically graded. So like it can't come. And so yeah. one thing I think a lot of people forget too is that whole OPSEC thing, you know,
yes.
operation security, because if you, you know, as a spouse, as a child, as a family member outside mm-hmm. of, you know, even the immediate family, you could ruin a whole thing and you don't
Absolutely.
Even realize it.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm so thankful is frustrated as I get because I like information.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful there that sometimes my husband, you know, in his wisdom and knowledge just doesn't tell me things because even if it wouldn't be intentional, he might accidentally, you know, I might accidentally slip up and say something. And so I think it's just so important we forget, like, we don't need to share, you know, oh, my husband's gone again or whatever on social media or like, my husband was gone for a whole year. People at our church didn't even know. They were like, I didn't even know he was gone. I just,
wow.
I don't know where I thought he was, but I didn't know he was just consistently gone for the whole year. And he was able to come back for, he happened to have a couple TDYs stateside. And so he would come back through. And so they saw him. And so it just didn't register with them. And I was like, well, I just didn't really advertise it that,
yeah.
my kids and I were by ourselves for a whole year, you know, so for our safety and for his. And so, you know, we just have to be careful, because there's a phrase that we all know, loose lips sink ships. Yeah. And that exists for a reason. It's true. So, and especially today with social media, like, I think it's easy for us to think, because we wouldn't do anything bad with information, we can't wrap our heads around other people doing right. bad things with information, but they just piece things here and here, you know, put all these little pieces together of different, maybe spouses or kids or parents posting things about their active duty member being, you know, deployed or TY or they're in this place, and people can start piecing things together, and it just starts to get a little bit dangerous. So it's not worth it.
Yeah. And like you said, it's not just for their safety, but it's also for yours and mm-hmm. your children. And because a lot of people would say, oh, well, you know, the quote unquote man of the house is away, you know, right. that makes it an immediate target.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it's really just a dangerous situation all around to say, oh, mm-hmm. well, you know, so-and-so is going on a deployment, especially, you know, if you start sharing the locations.
Yeah.
I get so frustrated every time I see something on social media and I'm like, well, I can't necessarily like, I don't know this person well enough to go be like, well, you shouldn't be sharing this information, but right. like,
yeah.
at the same point, it's so frustrating because we know, you know, if we were in their shoes, like we wouldn't be sharing that.
Yeah. And it's not, it, you know, you never want it to be like judgy or anything. It's out of legitimate concern for,
right.
for those people and their family members.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't necessarily know what's preached to the spouses, but, you know, operational security OPSEC needs to really be, you know, preached, especially to these newer spouses who are coming in, mm-hmm. who post their entire lives on technology and social media. Yeah. And, you know, I post a lot on social media too, but I don't necessarily have anything vital on that. You know, I don't yeah. have that, but, you know, some people do, and, you know, the locations, and even as a 21-year-old adult, like, I don't post my locations on social right. media until after I leave. That's just something
yeah, I exactly.
do to make myself more comfortable.
Yeah. No, I think that's super wise.
Yeah. I think, you know, there are certain things everyone should practice anyways.
Yeah.
Because you just never know.
I know. And none of us are perfect at it, but it's always good to be. I try to, you know, if people come to me and say like, hey, you know, you might reword that or whatever, just trying to be sensitive to that and understanding like they care about me and my family, and they're trying to caution me against something that they're concerned about.
Right. Because, you know, being a military family member, whether that's the service member all the way down to children, to extended mm-hmm. family, you know, that lifestyle is hard enough as it is, you know, yes. having somebody in your family who is in the military, like that's hard enough as it is. Mm-hmm. And that's stressful enough as it is. There's some things you just don't think about and you need a little reminder sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And I've my sweet dad posted before my husband went overseas, and he said something about it. And I was like, Dad, thankfully now you can delete things off of social media.
Right.
So a couple people had commented, but he went out and kindly deleted it. And I was like, hey, we're not, you know, I hadn't told him, but I was like, I should have told you earlier, but we're not telling people that he's going to be gone or where he's going, just for safety all around. So,
yeah. And, you know, it's so easy to just delete something or reword something and not mm-hmm. that it's fully gone forever, but it's, you yes. know, it's at least out of the public eyes and,
right.
you know, it's not, it saves so much.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What are some of, you know, those highlights that you've had in the military life?
The biggest thing that comes to mind is the relationships. We've been so blessed every place that we've been to form some really sweet friendships. And we were just talking about this the other night. My parents' best friends had been Air Force. And so, his wife told me before we got married, she said, your first duty station is going to be where you make your closest friends. And, you know, your closest Air Force friends. And she was totally right. We were just talking about, you know, there's, first of all, we were there, we didn't have, none of us had kids. And so we had all the time in the world. We could stay up late. We would play cards and eat whatever, you know, take out junk food that we wanted and just really spent a lot of time together. And we weren't limited by, like, you know, kids' bedtimes or nap times or sports schedules or any of that stuff. And so that was really fantastic. So I've got my group of friends, we call ourselves the Fab Five, and we still text each other weekly and get together whenever we can. I mean, when my mom passed away, one of the Fab Five was on the other side of Texas, and she drove across the state of Texas and back in one day just to come to my mom's funeral. So
wow,
you just form those really, really sweet bonds of friendship. And our husbands all are friends too. And I think that's super rare for like five couples to all be friends. And just, it was right when things were kicking off in Iraq and they were just gone all the time. And so the five guys, they just always kept an eye on where each other was in the world. And they would tell us, like, hey, you know, they'll be back. I know you haven't heard from them, but just be patient or whatever. And they really just kind of kept track of each other and our wives. We would shovel each other's driveways when it snowed and help each other with yard work or any, you know, let the dogs out while I'm at work or whatever it is. And so those friendships have really been so, so sweet over the years. And then when you move, you make new friendships, but it can be hard because it's like that first base, you're not trying to replace or recreate any specific relationships, but every move after that, you always have that like really special relationship that it's really hard to, you're never going to like replace them or, you know, right. Those situations, those relationships. But we have been so blessed every place we've been, even to create really good civilian friendships and people that we still keep in touch with regularly. So I would think that the relationships have been like the biggest benefit for us and for our family. And then I would just say like different experiences, being able to, I would have never lived in California. I never would have lived in Delaware. You know, just having those different cultural experiences, getting to travel kind of locally. Our kids have played travel hockey everywhere we've moved. And so we always get to kind of visit the local area and get out like in the surrounding communities and do a little bit of sightseeing and that kind of thing. So I think those have been the biggest benefits and blessings for us in this life.
Yeah. It's so fun to be able to visit new places and meet new people. And, you know, you form your community wherever you go. And that's the biggest thing. And, you know, you have those people who have been there with you from the beginning and they know everything you've been through. And those are, you know, those are the people you go to first for anything.
Yeah,
but absolutely. Then, you know, it's really fun to make new friends along the way and meet new people and go on different journeys and explore new things. And, you know, I remember going to San Antonio. I was so excited to be there. And, you know, after a while, I was like, well, when are we going to go back to Ohio? Because I didn't understand that whole, okay, well, we're moving from Ohio to Texas. We're not going back to Ohio. I didn't like change. So
I didn't either growing up. And so I never thought I would be in this lifestyle. But
yeah, changing every few years.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it's so fun to just explore new places. And, you know, San Antonio has my favorite food by far, you know,
absolutely.
And going to the Alamo, the Riverwalk, what I would do to go back to the Riverwalk. But so many fun things, you know, everywhere you go and, you know, Delaware to California and all around. So it's really just, you have to make the most of everywhere you go to.
Absolutely. You can kind of live like a tourist. Like when we were in Virginia, we had 2 years there and we just made a bucket list. We didn't cross everything off of it, but all the monuments and everything that we wanted to see, all of the museums, restaurants, like I went through like online, Pinterest, asked friends and just made this huge bucket list and I kept it on like a dry erase board in our kitchen. And when we went and did stuff for the weekend, we would check it off. And
yeah,
we probably got about halfway done. But I feel like considering we were still trying, we were homeowners and still trying to like live normal life while we were there, we did a pretty good job of finding a balance between like living normal, quote unquote, normal life, and then being kind of tourists in our own city too.
Right. And that's the fun part, because you know people who have lived there before. And so you can ask friends, and more than likely going to the next place, like, you know, someone who has lived there before. And so just being able to ask around, and, you know, when you try to go to settle down and your retirement is hitting close, like, you can go back and look at every place you've been, decide if you want to go back to one of those places, whether you're done with it, you know, and just traveling and going back, and then having people to visit, especially making civilian friends there that are not necessarily going to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really fun to go back, and you're not necessarily a tourist because you've been there before. You know the spots you want to go to.
Yeah, for sure. You have a connection there too.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the last thing I want to ask you is, what advice would you give to another military spouse?
Okay. So I have two pieces of advice. One is, and this is just kind of life in general, when you have we always have events, right, that we go to, and they can be intimidating. And so if you feel like insecure, wear something that you love that makes you feel like, put on your favorite, you know, whatever blouse or whatever it is, your favorite dress. That always makes the difference and like gives you that boost of confidence.
I love that.
But for military, I would say, even if you don't have like a family legacy of military service, you are still part of the military legacy. And it's okay to lean into that. There's a lot of, you know, kind of negative talk around dependents and that kind of thing. But we know that our military members, they depend on us. We depend on them to get onto base. We depend on them for, you know, a lot of things, but they depend on us to kind of keep the home fires burning, to, you know, to support them and make it so that they have their minds, you know, uncluttered about what's going on at home when they're out serving and accomplishing their mission. So lean into that legacy, get advice from people who've gone before you, and find out what it is that can help you maximize your opportunities. Cause there's so many opportunities being military, you know, adjacent that we have. Find out from other people who've done it how you can make the most of that, so that you can really enjoy this time, because it really is part of something special.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, it's really great to be able to lean on those people when, you know, anything happens, good, bad, in between, it doesn't matter. And having those people, that community, and is so important to rely on. And you know, favorite dress, favorite blouse, favorite lipstick, like, is so important to have too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Well, thank you, Laura, so much for being on the podcast. It was great having you.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I loved it.
Thank you for listening to Grace of a Military Child and Life podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give it a like, follow, and comment. Also, be sure to check out Instagram and Facebook at Grace of a Military Child and Life for more awesome content. For information on the podcast, Military Child Bigs and Littles, GoAMCL blog, or other resources, visit www.goamcl.org. You can also email me at Gracie, that's GRACIE, at GOAMCL.org, with any questions or comments. To be a guest on the podcast, you can schedule it at www.goamcl.org/schedule-a-podcast, all one word, or contact me via social media or email. Stay tuned for the next episode, where another incredible story is shared.